Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you that we have this opportunity to hear from you. I ask in the name of Jesus that you grant utterance, that I will speak as your oracle, that your word will go forth in simplicity but with accuracy and power, that our hearts will be established in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, amen. All right, this evening I want to look at a subject, and we'll be doing this for 45 minutes, on the subject of what we're looking at is the potential that is found in the human mind as described in the scriptures. You know, getting born again, saved, we became new creatures in Christ Jesus. The fact that spiritual realities and the fact that we are spirit beings and that God is a spirit, and them that worship him must worship him therefore in spirit and in truth. And so we got established somewhat in the fact that we are spirit beings and that we have our spiritual identity in Christ. But I believe to a very large extent, the role of the mind in the life of man has not been properly laid bare before the Church of Jesus Christ. And because we haven't understood this tool properly and its usage, then even the advantages that we have in the realm of the spirit and who we are in Christ is not being seen as it should be seen. That is, theoretically, we speak about such a distinction between the new creature in Christ and the old man that the distinction is far and above, a position that is inaccessible to or by the old man. But then when we look at events playing out on the earth, then we need to ask ourselves, all right, the question whether this also becomes the thing that we are seeing. And I believe that the part of man's being that needs to be understood properly is the mind now and the potential that is within the mind. For that distinction which is on the outside, where the glory of God is visible in the life of a person, we will see clearly it comes as a result of the renewing of the mind. Because it says we shouldn't be conformed to this world. And even if we're going to have transformation in character, differentiation between us and the world, how will this happen? Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Let that differentiation there be evident. And how? Through the renewal of your mind. So we're going to see this. And also we're going to see that it tells us as we behold, all right, as you behold the glory of the Lord, as in a glass or mirror, we are transformed. That's that same word, transformed from one level of glory to another. And that transformation there, we're going to say it's by the renewal. So the levels of glory that are manifest in our lives in tangible form comes as a result of the renewal of our minds. So the difference in men really is in the function, all right? It's a function of their mind. It's not a function of whether the Holy Ghost is present in them. I'm talking about believers now. Because every believer has the Holy Spirit in him. It is a function about of their spirits. Now, we say that sometimes, but it's really not that. Because every born-again believer is a new creature in Christ Jesus. In him, all things have passed away, and these are spiritual realities. and all things have become new, and all things are of God. And the Bible does say in the book of Colossians that you are now holy. Then it says unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Therefore, if we are going to address the human spirit as it is, it tells us in the book of Hebrews, the spirits of just men made perfect. Where the differentiation is the function there of the mind. All right? The difference is in the mind when it comes to outcomes. A man is transformed, we have said this, by the renewal of his mind. It is through the mind, and I want you to hear this, all right? Might be shocking to some of you, but hear this and I'll show it from the Bible. It is through the mind a person overcomes the environment. Let me say this again. It's through the mind a person overcomes the environment. You know, how did man overcome, all right, the law of gravity through the mind? How did man overcome, all right, and was able to create things that will float on water? It's through the mind. How did man overcome many things around him? Through the mind. How are you seated in your house, or you are in your car, or wherever you are, and you are able to hear me, and those of you watching can see me in my own study, while you are in your own house, how did this happen? It's through the mind. All right? People were able to overcome distance, shorten distance, overcome things through the mind. The mind became the tool for this. Now, I'm going to show you how the Spirit participates in this, and how the Spirit functions. Because the real activity of the Holy Spirit first is expressed in our thought life. I'm repeating that again. The activity of the Spirit, of our spirit, is expressed in our thought life. In fact, when he says no man knows the things of a man except the spirit of that man which is in him, you go and read it. Is no man knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of that man that is inside of him. The distinction when it comes between heaven and earth. Isaiah said, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my thoughts higher than your thoughts, and my ways are higher than your ways. The distinction between heaven and earth there reflected in thought life. All right? So, it is through the mind of a person that you overcome the environment, and I'll show this, and every obstacle in the paths of men. So when you go to different nations, and the nations are organized, some in more superior ways than others, that you look at it and it's desirable to live in that place, is the function of the minds of the people. And so when we even get to heaven and we see the glories of heaven, this is the function of the mind of God. And so we come into your own space, your home, your business. It's a function there of your mind. So men overcome through their mind, and I'll show this. This may be quite shocking, but let's look into what the Word of God says. In fact, what does this God, the God of this world, do? He blinds the minds of people. That's how he's able to establish power, lest the light of the glorious gospel should get into their minds. So he blinds that. Now, in Romans chapter 12 and 2, that we are looking at how people overcome, it says, don't be conformed. It says, in this world, you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer, have overcome. How do you get to that point in practice? Now, I want to be very practical. All right, I spent enough time on this earth to talk theories. Okay? I can't spend the rest of my days on this earth just talking theories. We have to give people things that are applicable, of practical value, that they can put to work, and see what God has said in the word come to pass within their lives. That's why when a person is an epistle of Jesus, to be read and known of all men, where is the target? He says, "It is you are the epistle of Christ, written not on tables of stone, but on the fleshly tables of the heart." Where is that? In the book of Hebrews, it tells us, "I will write my laws in your mind." In other words, this New Testament, the target of the Father. He says, look, the old covenant, he found fault with them. Where was the fault? In their thinking. And said, I'm going to introduce a new covenant. And where is it going? He said, I will write my laws in their minds. And inside that, in what thoughts they are, I will place them. So he tells us in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. Or I be transformed by the renewal. The word renewal there comes from the same word which we get metamorphosis, where a person moves from the caterpillar or right to right and becomes the butterfly. So it's a change in the outward appearance and evident capacity to function. So if you look at the caterpillar and the butterfly, the outward appearances are different, which means the way the caterpillar looks is different from the way the butterfly looks. So if you look at it, there'll be a complete change in the outward appearance of a person when their minds are renewed. Their entire approach to things will change. Their method, all right, through which they get things done, radically changed. The way a caterpillar goes about things is completely different from the way, all right, a butterfly will go. Same life. But he has undergone what is called metamorphosis. And this is what the renewal of... Now, I'm not saying what we think the renewal of mind is. I'm talking about the renewal. I'm not talking about what we may have been told the renewal of the mind is. We are taking the thing for what the Word of God says it is. And let's look at it. And on the merit of the scriptures itself, where we interpret scripture with scripture. So it says there's a total change in the outward appearance. So not only will there be a change in outward apparent behavioral pattern, at the same time, the evident capacity to function. In other words, the butterfly's capacity there. It can fly. The caterpillar cannot. All right? So there's capacity there. You see this person able to get. There's efficiency. There's capacity, right, to function because there is what we'll call, right, the renewal of the mind there. In the life of that person. So there's capacity to function. There are also, and that's what the scripture says, you know, it talks about butterflies that fly, all right, metamorphosis, when you talk about that, but then it says, they that wait upon the Lord shall be renewed in their strength, and they will mount up with wings as eagles, which means they have changed their mode of operation, all right, and the energy. They mount up with wings as eagles. Now, what you've got to understand and what I want to look at is, now let's remove all the, just using religious terms. Now, it says, we all with an open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed. That word change there is that same word metamorphosis. In other words, we are changed by the Spirit of God from one level of glory to another level of glory. Now, God cannot, is not confused, it's the same person. So if he says you are changed, or use that same word, transformed by the renewal of your mind, what therefore he's saying is, as we behold the image, we are changed into that image by changing our thoughts. So if God gives you a promise, we're going to look at this, and you are beholding that promise as looking through a glass, the mirror of the Word of God, in order for what you are looking at to be fulfilled, you are going to be transformed into that same image by the Spirit of God. And what the Spirit of God is going to do is to renew your mind. And he changes the thoughts that are within in order for you to enter into it. So one person says, it's impossible. It's not impossible. That person is simply saying, I have no access to the thoughts through which I will understand how these things are possible. That's all. Nothing is impossible. All right? The change the Spirit effects, therefore, is in the thought life of the people. And the way you change outcomes in a person's life from failure to success, all right, from the brink of divorce to a very happy marriage, is to substitute the thoughts that are inside the heart of that person. That's the way you do it. You substitute the thoughts. In other words, that same person that is failing can begin to succeed. If first of all, there is what you call clarity of vision. In other words, they are looking as in a mirror. They are looking at the image of where they want to go to and what they want to become. The image there is before them in God's word. So they have promises from God that are imaged right before them. And then the Spirit will change thoughts that are on the inside of them so that that image that they are seeing can become a reality within their lives. Now we'll see this with Paul when we get to Romans chapter 7. Paul at one point spoke about the fact that, all right, he was struggling. I know people say that, it's Romans chapter 7 was when he was under the law and he wasn't a Christian. I've said this before. I mean, why would Paul write Romans 3 and talk about the glorious realities of justification in Romans chapter 5 and talk about the most powerful truths about identification in Christ and then come to Romans chapter 8 and talk about the law of the Spirit of life and the manifestations of the sons of God? And he will inject in Romans chapter 7 in between those chapters when he was under the law. Even if he was saying that, for what purpose was he saying that? There was continuity in what he was saying. And he talked about here that I delight in the law of the Lord after my inward man, which means that there was something in his inward man. If his inward man was in sin, as we teach, all right, in the old man, then why is he delighting in the law after his inward man? And there's that desire to do that. But the point I'm getting to is that Paul was in a struggle here. Okay? For he was in a struggle. And what he said here was, I am carnal. He did not say he wasn't a Christian. He said, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal under the bondage of that thing, sin still. Carnal. And what does it mean to be carnal? Okay? It tells us in verse 6, for to be carnally minded. So when a person is carnal, their mind there is trapped in the flesh. He says, for that which I do, I allow not, and what I would, that do I not, but what I hate, that do I. So he hated iniquity, but he was doing it. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that is good. Now it's no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. And when he said in me, he now clarified it. For I know flesh. So he couldn't have been talking about when he wasn't saved. He said, for I know that in me, in brackets, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present. And how to perform I find not. And this is the definition of frustration. And everybody that is frustrated on the earth, This is their experience. In their inward man, there is a yearning for a certain expression, but they don't know how to translate what they have on the inside into physical reality. That's it. I mean, I heard a producer of music say this recently. I mean, just reading up on him or listening to him in a documentary. And he said, when we were young, he said, we will hear the sound in our head, but we didn't have the skill to translate what we were hearing into actual physical sound. We will hear the song on the inside. We will know how it sounds within, but we didn't have the skill set to be able to translate it. He said, so we'll produce something that will be different from what we are hearing on the inside. Even sometimes people will like it, he said, but it's not what we heard. Until we matured and discovered, all right, how to translate the sound within into the sound on the outside. And Paul here was saying, to will within is present. How to perform, I find not. So he was frustrated. And frustration is that hearing something within and not knowing how to produce it on the outside. So he said in verse 22, I delight in the law of God after my inward man. So he couldn't have been seen. He wasn't only generated here. But I see another law at work in my members. So in his inward man, that's what we're talking about. There was the desire for something, but he saw another law at work on the outside, bringing me into captivity. So somebody tries to produce, builds a business. It's almost like he sees another law at work on the outside, bringing him to captivity, and he cannot fulfill what is on the inside. Now, you can get that man to pray, to fast, to do all of that, but until he understands this, he now went on, I thank, he said, O wretched man who shall deliver me from this body of death. I thank God. Hear what he said. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, he said, I see it. I have been bypassing the mind. How do I perform that which is within with the mind? How do I get it done with the mind? With the mind. With the mind. So Paul began to get into this teaching of the renewal of the mind. And then he said, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God. With the mind, I got myself into it. And then he went on and said, for they that are after the flesh... Remember, he had said this, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I'm carnal, sold on that. To be carnal means you're after the flesh. It goes in Romans 8, 5, for they that are after the flesh do what? Mind. He said, that's it. My mind was on the things of the flesh. But they that are after the spirit, the things of the spirit. For to be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now, I want to present something to you. I will not go deeper than it, but I just want to introduce the thoughts to your mind. The Bible tells us that the last enemy of Christ, he's seated here, and the last enemy that's sitting on the throne, the last enemy to be placed under his feet is death. And I think it's deeper than just physical death. Yes, there'll be an abolishment of that. But what he's talking about is that the enmity there, because it talks about the enmity in the wicked works of your mind, that what militates against what Jesus did, and he's sitting at the right hand of God. The real threat in the believer to that is the carnal mind that is calling death. In other words, if that mind is carnal, there'll be no reflection of that which is within that man in the life of that man until he knows how to unravel this subject of the mind. That's why I'm going to show this scripture here. It's a powerful scripture. I want to show Matthew chapter 27. That's why, you know, it's the last enemy. And Satan knows that. That's why it tells us the God of this world hath blinded the mind. He knows it's the mind. So we see here in Matthew chapter 27. Just read it. And you can go back and think about it. Because we talk about, it says, hath blinded the mind. So that until this day, there is a veil. There is a veil. So that blindness is that veil that is cast over the mind. Now, if you look at Matthew chapter 27, I just want you to see something here. Matthew 27, and it says in verse 50. It says, now this is when Jesus died on the cross. Now, look at what it says. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. That's his spirit. And at that point, he died, all right? Physically. Okay? Now, he had died spiritually earlier. There was a time difference. Because spiritual death is severance. Alright? When God severes. And so, he had said up here, alright? My God, why have you forsaken me? And there was that severance. And he remained on the cross in the suffering of that death, taking upon himself in between the time where there was a severance of God's presence and when he gave up the ghost and gave it up, there was a period of time that something was going on. And then after he gave up the ghost, in verse 52, he says, sorry, verse 51, look at what happened. Verse 50, it says, he lay and yielded the ghost. And then that's his spirit. And behold, the veil in the temple was rent. Now, if we look at ourselves as the temple of the Holy Ghost, and the veil within that temple is rent, where is the veil? It tells us the God of this world had blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light. And it talked about Moses, who puts that veil. And that veil was a blindfold. So what happened was, that blindfold, when he died, that's the target, to be stripped. And that mind opened up. And the next thing it says here, all right, and the veil was rent into two, from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and rocks rent, and the graves were opened. Which means that once we deal with this issue of the mind, graves start getting opened. People start saying resurrection power. Wait, hold it. To show you this is consistent, when you get to Ephesians chapter 1, why did Paul pray this prayer? And that was access. That God may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, that the eyes of your understanding. Go and look at the word understanding. It's N-O-U-S in Greek, mind. That blindfold that Satan placed, through which he controls, which is called the power of darkness. Paul was praying that their eyes be opened. The eyes of their mind. He says that you may know in very clear terms what your purpose is on this earth. Two, that you may come to experience the riches of his glorious inheritance. That's the Spirit of God, his participation, and all the wealth that he comes with and demonstrates. And then the thought, then the exceeding greatness of that power which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. So access to that power is by opening up the eyes of your mind. So we get to Proverbs chapter 20. Now I'll take a step deeper into this. And I want to show something here. Proverbs chapter 20. And verse 27. Now it says, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching the inward parts of the belly. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching the inward parts of the belly. Now, this morning, while we're in songs and spirit, I said that I want to make a massive change on what I first understood in the Word of Faith movement about that scripture and how it was defined. And the reason why I was bold enough to do that and say that, rather, was because I did not find other scriptures that were used in this particular, in relation to it, consistent with just that one-dimensional definition. Where what he's talking about here is the human spirit. I didn't believe that. I came to think that what he was talking about was the mind. That the mind of man is the candle of the Lord. And listen to this. And that mind searches the inward parts of the belly. Now, what's the inward parts of the belly? Jesus said, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. He that believeth, as scripture has said, out of his belly. The belly there is the spirit. And the inward parts of the belly, who dwells there? It says, out of it. This is spoke about the Holy Ghost. That's where the Holy Ghost resides. So the mind of a man is the candle of the Lord. And we'll see that David said, the Lord will light my candle. That's the mind. And enlighten my darkness. And how will he light the candle? He will light that candle that when you are confronted with a situation that is beyond you, that your mind will search the inward parts of the belly. And it has to be directed with words to do this. To search the inward parts of the belly and go into the intelligence of the Holy Spirit. This is where Christianity is. and get the ideas, which means what no man's eye had seen, ear heard, heart conceived, that God has prepared, God has revealed these deep things. That word things there is thoughts. So he reveals these deep thoughts unto us. And so the Holy Spirit grants, all right, the thoughts to your mind. And then your mind is illuminated and knows, comes out and knows exactly what to do. And we'll say this. And that's how you overcome in life and get great things done. Now, so a minister in church told me, said he went to check, called me just before this and said, he went to check this spirit here and found out that the word used there, okay, just for this, we'll just quote the word, is shama. And it's different from the word that was used for pure spirit, which is roar, all right, in the Old Testament in Hebrew. So I went to check it. And I found out that there were about four or five words that were used to describe this word shama: inspiration, breath, spirit, intellect. Now, you don't want to, all right, do violence to the word of God. So when you start doing that, the Hebrew, the people who define those words in Hebrew will tell you which is used in every scripture as it is used. You will see it. When they got to Proverbs chapter 20, verse 7, 27, this scripture, they said it connotes the mind and the intellect. Simple. So the mind of a man is the candle of the Lord. Now, if we understand this, we'll change this world. Because what has been happening is people will be talking about illumination in their spirit, and these things are vague. But the mind of a man is the candle of the Lord, searching the inward parts of the belly. So let me put it this way. This is what we're saying here. And this is where the real wealth, prosperity, and whatever it is. Now, a person builds, let's say, a car and says, we've got to power this car. Has a vision. We'll get to this. Has a vision. We'll have multiple forms of cars. So, all over the world. So somebody says, what are you going to put inside the car that will power that particular car and make it go around? He doesn't know. But he understands his mind is the candle of the Lord. That when he tells in Psalm that God will light my candle, all right, and enlighten my darkness, that light is going to come into his mind. So what he does is to direct his mind to search the inward parts of his belly for the solution to that thing. Now, if the Holy Ghost resides, and he does, in the inward parts of the belly of a Christian, what the mind is doing is searching, all right, all the avenue of the Holy Ghost to find out from the Holy Ghost the thoughts that will solve that particular problem. So the Holy Ghost now shows him or her material in this world and teaches that person that you can convert this black liquid, that it's only its value is nuisance value, because at that particular point in time, the mind of man could only conceive fission. And so the black liquid, if it was found in water, all right, or riverine area, then it begins. Or it condemns farming. If you find it in farmland, then it's a nuisance to it. But then the mind there discovered that we can take this black liquid through a process and extract from it something called petrol to move cars, and extract from it what we'll call aviation fuel to fly planes. It was the discovery of the mind. In other words, the value in that thing was actually the entrance of the intelligence of God into that particular thing. That's the value, not the thing in itself. So let's assume that somebody who knows that process says, well, I need this laptop here, or whatever it is. It is through this laptop I'm able to power all my cars. So the owner of the laptop, or the person who has access to the laptop, says, I'm shutting down this laptop. So I have you at my feet now. If you don't have access to this laptop, then you're going to do whatever I tell you to do. And this is what I'm saying. And the man on the outside says, this laptop only has value because I gave it value. Because my mind went to search the avenues of the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost taught me that what you were handling and said, what is this among so many? that I was able to extract from it food that will feed 15,000 people. Now, you can hold your laptop there. I'm going to go through that process again. We understand the process. And then my mind will search to find on this earth where we can extract value to be able to create substance that will power cars without having to depend upon this. Game over. It's only a matter of time. What happened? That's what happened to Daniel. He said, give us time. Our minds will search the avenues of the Holy Ghost. Except you are telling me that God in heaven does not know what is going on. And he don't. Now, if we understand this principle, we understand where power is. It's because we've been saying this light is in our spirit. This light is in spirit. So someone just comes up, just, I'm deep, you know. And light is in spirit. So he searches. Now, let me just give a scripture here. Okay, that will be helpful, that I'll come back. Look at Micah chapter 7. Micah chapter 7 here and verse 8. Micah chapter 7 and verse 8. I don't think I'll be able to teach deeply on this. All right. Micah chapter 7 and verse 8. These minor prophets are the problem of every word teacher. All right. Micah 7, 8. Now, look at what he's saying here. Rejoice not against me, O my enemy, when I fall. That you see me, I fell. He said, don't rejoice. He said, you know why? I shall arise. I shall do what? Arise. Now, how is he going to arise? Rejoice not when you see my business fall. Rejoice not when you see this happen. Because I'm going to arise. Now, how will that happen? When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light, all right, unto me. In other words, when I sit in darkness and I don't know what's going on, the Lord is going to light his candle, which is my mind. And an idea is going to come to me, or ideas on what to do. And the minute I begin to implement that, everything will change. So you look at somebody and you laugh, all right? He ran in trouble in business, lost all his money. He's sitting in darkness. You start telling stories about him. He says, rejoice not, because I am going to arise. That's the faith part. That's the spirit part. Then he now says, the Lord shall do what? To effect that, what the Lord is going to do is that he's going to be a light. So God lightened, and a massive idea comes into the mind of that person. He rises up and starts, because he says, arise and shine, for thy light has come. In other words, you have been illuminated now in your mind. Thoughts have come in. You go and implement those thoughts. Bam. Everything changes. All right. So Psalm 18, as we bring this to a close, and verse 28. So what I'm really supposed to do here is to show, get to it, how your mind makes, how your mind, like a live wire here, makes contact with the mind of the Spirit. Contact. And where are we going to start finding this? We start finding this when it tells us, he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. Mind of the Spirit. You know, he started out by saying, we know not what to pray for, ignorance in our mind. But then as we get into prayer, and the Holy Spirit takes hold together with us, and the Bible says, with groanings that cannot be uttered, that's where the mind starts searching. He that searcheth knoweth what is the mind, finds out what's the mind of the Spirit, because he's making intercession for the saints according to the will of God. That person searching cannot be God, because the Holy Spirit is making intercession according to the will of God. If it's the will of God, what's God searching again? All right? Searches. And that's where the contact comes. Psalm 18 here and verse 28. It says here, Psalm 18 and verse 28, for thou will light my candle. That's my mind. All right? The Lord thy God will enlighten my darkness. Now we said, want to show that through that you overcome obstacles. He said, for by thee I have run through a troop. by that light. By my God, I have leaped over a wall, that light. All right? Now, how do we get to this light? There is what you call, and I'll close with this, the receptive part of the mind, and then the active part of the mind. In other words, it receives first, then it acts. And what do we mean by this? There is a receptive, like we saw in Micah here, chapter 7. He says, rejoice not when I fall, for I shall arise. So it accepts, it will arise first. Or he has arisen first. Then the Lord becomes a light unto him. That becomes the active part, shows him what to do. He carries that out. What do we mean by this? Hebrews chapter 11. You'll see the receptive and the active. So when you receive something, you become that thing. And it's after you have become that thing within, then you understand. That's when you get the light for there to be a manifestation of what you have received. What do I mean by this? Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 13. We see, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, having seen them afar off, they were persuaded of them. And then it goes on in verse 17. By faith, now look at this, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. That's active. He knew what to do. There was a thought, active. He offered up. All right, he offered up Isaac. It says, that's Hebrews 11:17, and he that had received the promises. Now, that's the receptive part of the mind. The active part of the mind was that when he was tried, he offered up Isaac. All right? Because he that had received the promises. He that had received the promises. So he had received, all right, the promises. So he was able to offer up, which means he was able to act because he had first received. So there is a receptive part and then the active part. Now, if you haven't received the promises, you are never going to know what to do to cause that promise to materialize. Okay? So, now this is how the mind searches. Whatever has been received into the mind, that the mind searches the avenues of the Spirit of God. Searches the avenues. One second, they're saying, oh, okay. I will have to. I'm sorry, Mixer doesn't have audio. I'm going to have to redo this. Okay, so you're going to have to come back on. Sorry. All right, I think I know what I'm going to do here. All right, so here that searches, all right, so he says, by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. Now, so he offered up Isaac because he that had, the Bible says, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. So, He was active because he had received. Do you get this? There's a receptive part, there's the active part. It is the person who has received that can act right. Is the person who says, rejoice not, all right, when I fall, for I shall arise. That's the person that is going to have Christ or the Lord as a light unto that person. All right? It says, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. So he received him in a figure. So he had received, and that's what he was talking about in 2 Corinthians here, that we all with an open face beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, that we are changed into that same image from one level of glory to another level of glory. So we are changed into that same image from one level of glory to another, because we are beholding as in a mirror. Now, the Bible says he that had received the promises had received him in the figure. In other words, for your mind to be able to search out the avenues of the Holy Spirit, your mind must first of all receive it on the inside, that that particular thing is a reality. Okay? Then, once it is established in it as a reality, called it into existence as though it were, and it has entered into your heart as an established thing, which is why people that get breakthrough things, and they get these breakthrough ideas, one of the characteristics they have is they are tenacious. They don't give up. Now, because they have received it first. So, as far as Henry Ford was concerned, the Wright brothers, we are flown. Everybody says, it's not possible. They saw it in a figure of them in a plane flying an aircraft into the air. It was an experience on the inside of them. And once that receptive part had taken it in, the active part now kicked in. And what happens is your intuitive, I'll continue this on Saturday, your intuitive faculties now start. So you now begin to perceive as to the steps you need to take to bring about the physical manifestation of that which has been established in your heart as a figure of what you have already received. So the receptive part has to be established in order for that active, there to be illumination for that. So what's the conclusion of this? Your mind is the candle of the Lord. Job said, I wish in the day past when the candle shone upon my head, your mind there, the head there is the fountain of what he was doing. He wasn't talking about his brain. He says that my mind was supplying things to what I was doing at the origin there. He says, by his light I walk through darkness. So the illumination came there to his mind. And that illumination comes from the Spirit. But a demand is made by the mind on the Holy Ghost for the thoughts that will bring about the fulfillment of what it has accepted as true. That's all I'm saying. So God presents his promises. The individual accepts it as a reality in their life. And by that, the mind makes a demand. And save you are saying the Holy Ghost, who is the Spirit of God, the same Spirit that is in God, can't comprehend business process or whatever it is. Once that demand is made, the Holy Spirit reveals it. All right? And once the Holy Spirit reveals it, the mind after some time flashes there in what you might call a eureka moment. That's it. And the light bulb comes on. That's when that light bulb, the mind is the, and that scripture translation says the light bulb. So the light comes on. For that will light my candle. That's a thought comes there. It says, for the Lord shall be a light, which means illumination, light bulb, an idea comes. So you can be sitting, and this is what is required during this COVID, all right, season here. Your mind has to be getting ideas. You know, I don't care the business you are in. And Ali, listen to me, I do not care the business you are in. And that's why I say to pastors, you can be more effective. Listen to this. The Holy Ghost can illuminate your mind. Nobody can shut the Holy Ghost down. Nobody. Paul was in prison. He said, yes, I'm locked up, but the word of God is not bound. He said, do not faint at my tribulation for you. He said, everywhere, even if people say it is the persecution of the church, everywhere there's persecution, what follows is multiplication in the midst of it. Even let's even take that. Multiplication comes out. So the Holy Ghost is inside you. My friend, there's nothing that can be done on the outside that the Holy Ghost cannot. I mean, I read once many years ago, I can't find that book now. It's a compilation. And it had to do with Rockefeller. And they took them, they wanted to break up his company, Standard Oil. They went to the United States Senate. And a senator got up and said, we are dealing with men who are able. We have legislated and legislated to break up. And the more we legislate, the more these people find a way around it and multiply their wealth. The more we try to stop, we broke the company up, they multiplied their wealth. That they are able men. And so, when you have the Spirit of God in you, and you understand that your mind is the candle and the light bulb, and your mind searches the inward parts of your belly, then the light starts coming to your mind there. And then we'll start bringing things of real practical value. And then we'll come to this place where we are the light of this world. Not people that are just debating theories, but we'll become the light of this world. A city that is set on a hill that cannot be hidden. People will be working in businesses as Jacob was in Laban's house. And Jacob was the light of that place. Which means that he had ideas on how to grow that business. And Laban said, I have learned by experience. That word experience there means I have learned from consulting the occult that if you leave this place, this business is going down. For there will be no more ideas. It is the person who is supplying ideas that is bringing growth. That is the lifeline of that place. I'm going to stop here because of time. We'll get more into it on Saturday. All right. And then on Sunday also, I'll be teaching concerning it. Thank you for watching. God bless you.